This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 21. Today's guest is Josh Featherstone, co-host of the Now Trending Show.
This is Squadron Leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's hosts are Trina Marty and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the crew at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work and more importantly, giving them the resources and community they need to help share it with others. Today's episode is powered by Fizzle. If you want to do great work and make an impact on others with an online business, let this be your go-to source. It's honest training and a genuine community for lifestyle business builders. You know, I keep talking about the just-in-time learning that Fizzle offers due to their roadmap, but there's more than just one good thing about it. Another aspect is their awesome community and their forums. You know, besides being able to answer any question you might have about your business on there, I personally think it's one of the easiest ways to meet other creators at all different levels. In fact, that's where I met Trin and several past guests on the show. So if you're in a position where you don't have many resources to help guide you where you want to go to, and you feel that, you know, the free resources that you might find on, say, like Facebook, the giant groups that you find on there, you know, they might have too much spam or they're just not, you know, super related to what you're talking about, or that other more expensive options are outside of your budget, then, Fizzle might be a perfect middle option for you. And don't forget, as a listener to the Angles of Latitude podcast, you can go to newinceptions.com/fizzle and get your first 2 weeks free. Again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is session number 21 coming at you. It's February 2016, just 1 week away before the Super Bowl and just a couple of days after the Iowa caucus. And if either of these things interest you, or if trending topics in general interest you at all, I think you'll like today's guest. Josh Featherstone is a co-host of the Now Trending Show, a podcast in where he and his co-host talk about everything that's popular in the world, but with an eye on how the media is covering it. What separates Josh from other guests that we've had is that he does his craft simply because he enjoys it. It's literally a hobby to him. You know, having a background in media, however, you know, it gives him a bit of a professionalism that many hobbyists won't have, so it makes an interesting viewpoint of his work. In the talk with Josh, I bring up the topic of Patreon and how he could use it to monetize what he's doing. You know, he didn't seem too put off by the idea, so at least he's realizing that there's value in what he does, you know. We also talked briefly about how he got started in the media, his influences in it, and his thoughts on copyright infringement, as he uses a lot of clips and sound bites to set the stage for some of his discussions. Remember, if you have any questions for Josh, Trin, or myself, you can leave a question in the comments via the show notes or simply email us at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And as usual, I'll be back after the conversation to fill anything we might have missed. What's up, everybody? It's me, JC, and I'm here with Trin today as well.
Hey!
And welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking with a guy who I think you're going to enjoy listening to, as he is a fellow podcaster. Josh Featherstone is his name, and he's half of the voices you'll hear on the Now Trending Show.
Josh's background consists of him being a creator, host, and producer of the show. He is a restaurant manager by trade, but with a history in media. He's a former writer of Featherstone on Government, which was a local indie blog that provided commentary on local politics from a libertarian point of view. Also the former co-host of The Uncontrollables with Maya Axton, a podcast that kind of covered whatever Maya felt like rambling on about that given week, but tended to also stay in the political realm. Josh's major back in University of Southern Indiana was radio and TV. So there you go. A little bit about Josh. So Josh, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
Happy to be here. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you.
You've been obviously podcasting for a little while there. This particular show, how long have you been recording it?
We started the Now Trending show in October of 2014, so 14, 15 months or so right now. We just finished episode 62. It went up on the 30th of December.
Wow. Cool. What inspired you to do it?
You know, I just kind of had the itch. I've always kind of been a guy that was involved in radio. It's what I went to school for. I loved it. And we're lucky enough today in 2015 that, you know, doing something like radio can be something that we as amateurs do via a podcast if we want to. So I'd kind of already been involved with the Uncontrollables with Maya Axton, and I enjoyed doing that. And that show had gone by the wayside, and all of a sudden I just kind of got the itch again. So I started gathering some equipment and just kind of threw it together.
Awesome. Have you always been interested in media?
Yeah, kind of. I went to school to be, I guess, a disc jockey, even though I wasn't, you know, I knew I wanted to be in radio. I didn't know if I wanted to be a disc jockey or not. But even when I was a kid, I remember, you know, playing a tape in one room, running to another room and queuing up a tape so I could come back and get it going. And it was just kind of always my thing was being a radio guy.
So, Josh, you were talking about that you had a background in media and that you were actually kind of prepared to be radio disc jockey and going back doing tapes and rooms and
yeah,
everything.
You know, it's what I went to school for, but unfortunately that's one of the industries that you either make hardly anything at all or you make a ton of money and not too much gray area in between. So financially I started looking at other potential career paths.
Somehow that actually took you into managing and doing all the different things that you've done for various restaurants. And that's,
yeah, I was waiting tables to pay my way through school. So it seemed to be, well, I'm here and I feel like I'm good at what I do. And they'd actually approached me about the potential of going into management. And so that's what I did. I went ahead and said, all right, let's head down this path.
Interesting.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, you got to do whatever pays the most amount. But I think it's really cool that you've been able to kind of keep to your roots and still be able to pursue that, you know, what it is that you have an interest in. So
that's absolutely
cool.
Yeah. Speaking of roots. So you said you've always been a radio guy. What was the first ever radio show that you've ever listened to that inspired you?
Oh, probably Bob and Tom. As a kid, I'm right at the age I'm pushing 40 years old.
Right.
And so I was a kid where I was old enough to start picking up on some of their comedy, and they were still new and fresh enough in the Indianapolis area at that time that they were, you know, quite a big deal just because they were fresh and new. And so that's what we would tune into on the way to school and stuff in the morning. And I definitely probably would say that Bob and Tom was my first experience at radio that wasn't just, and here's the next song.
Right.
Right.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. I kind of being just a few years behind you, I remember going to high school, and that was one of the things. Bob and Tom, we were always listening to them as well.
Bob and Tom was a morning format show.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of the comedy, you know, off color morning, you know, shock. Not quite shock jock, but kind of shock jock.
Yeah.
Still to this day, they're nationally syndicated to this day. One of the biggest syndicated radio shows. One of the guys just retired.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Now it's Tom's show.
I don't know. What are they calling it? Do you have any idea?
They're going to keep it, I think, as Bob and Tom. You know, Bob, even though he has now retired, he's kind of been increasingly absent over the last couple of years. And I think that they've learned that they were able to make the show work even on the days and weeks that he took time off. And so they're going to stick with it. And Tom, heck, he's a new parent even. So
wow.
he's not getting any intention of going anywhere for a while, it sounds like. So
wow. That's pretty impressive. Awesome. You know, so, I mean, for the most part, then, since that was your, I guess, your influencing show.
Sure. And then as I grew up, I guess, you know, as I start getting into middle school, high school age, I start tinkering around with things like Rush Limbaugh. And,
right.
Wow.
I'll start getting a little bit more. My parents were always kind of politically involved people, so that was right. Definitely the stuff that they were tuning into. So, you know, as a passenger in the car, then by default, I'm interested in this now. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of spread my wings a little bit in that middle school, high school age and started finding other things that I liked listening to out there.
Right, right.
But it was always talk shows that you were interested in.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You know, I was a teenager. I listened to plenty of music radio, but right. I was probably the odd teenager that I didn't mind listening to the guys talking about what was going on in the world.
Cool. And so that just kind of gave you the whole interest, obviously, of doing stuff that's trending. And there you go.
It is.
So one of the things that I've noticed on the Facebook and things is that you kind of use a WTF kind of like in passing. And I was wondering, I mean, does Marc Maron kind of play a role in any of the idea?
No, actually, I wasn't aware of Marc Maron's podcast until we were already started on this show. Honestly, I threw the WTF in simply to avoid saying the F word.
Right, right. Well, I was just kind of curious. I was just like, huh.
Yeah, I've listened to some of Marc Maron's podcasts. Some of them have been okay. I don't think they really grab me like they do some people. Mm-hmm. They did a show on Netflix or something just called Maron that was kind of like a, you know, it was kind of like a fictional version of himself. And actually, I loved that show quite a bit. I've seen several episodes of it, and I thought it was very well done. But his podcast doesn't really grab me quite as much.
Okay.
So who's Marc Maron? Pardon if I don't know anything.
Yeah, he's a podcaster who he's a comedian. He's been a stand-up comedian for like 30 years something. And he started this podcast just called WTF and has started with, you know, comedians mostly as his guests. And to this day, I think they're still mostly comedians as his guests. But he's gained enough of a name for himself. He had President Obama on about a year or so ago as a guest. He just does this podcast out of his garage, but he's gotten rich doing it.
That's pretty cool. And you find inspiration from that.
You know, I don't necessarily think from him so much. There's that connection, the WTF connection between how I identify our show and that happens to also be the name of his show.
Right, it makes sense. So when people listen to your show, what can they expect?
The unexpected, I would say, to say the least. You know, we tackle mostly current events in the show. Right. We don't necessarily talk about the news themselves, but we more tackle how the news is covered. So we talk about things that literally just kind of make us WTF about what's going on out there. Sometimes it's the story itself, but more often than not, it's how the media is choosing to cover the story or how society is reacting to the story.
Cool.
You're more interested in the social norms of the media.
Yeah, you know, there's plenty of places out there where you can go get told what the news is. So we instead kind of come back in on a backside and just kind of provide commentary to whatever other people are saying about the news.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Well, and so do you get most of your topics from still like the morning talk shows, or do you kind of just kind of all kinds of different places, or where do you?
Oh, Lori and I, Lori's my co-host, and we kind of come from different places. She mostly is kind of the web blogosphere for the most of her sources of material. I tend to find more stuff from major news networks, whether it be one of the primetime news shows or, you know, like Fox News or CNN or something like that.
Okay. So you literally kind of are like maybe even the local radio show, but on the web, it sounds like to me. Is that a...
Yeah. I'd say that that's probably some kind of fair assessment.
Okay, cool. Well, then that's really cool. I like that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So I know, again, that you were talking about, at least through your bio, I talked about how you have a libertarian point of view. Does that background play at all into your, how you discuss things or anything?
Oh yeah, I'd say absolutely. You know, it's funny. We don't try to be a libertarian show, but Lori and I are both libertarians, politically speaking. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of times where we're talking about whatever's going on out there that gets brought up, and our points of view, especially on some of the political stuff, tends to get brought up, and why we, you know, sometimes just facepalm about what somebody's doing in the news. And it may be the kind of thing that the conservatives or the liberals are, you know, thumbs upping and saying, oh, hey, that's awesome. But then we're just saying, what in the world is going on here?
And I'm sure that you can actually kind of go, you know, forever on the political stuff. So yeah,
there's, you know, it's funny. There's not normally a shortage of things to find to talk about in the political realm. Mm-hmm. What's curious though, is sometimes it's hard to find coverage about what's going on in the political realm. Like, you know, as we head into the last couple weeks of December, it becomes increasingly difficult to find serious topics on the news. Everyone kind of lightens up a little bit. And so it's not that the stuff's not going on out there, but sometimes you got to just dig a little deeper to find it.
Okay.
Unless it's Donald Trump, they'll still talk about it.
Oh yeah.
So as far as your audience goes, I mean, why would people like, describe to me your audience. Why would people listen to a podcast if you're more or less doing, you know, kind of the same stuff? What makes your guys' show stand apart? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, if you're talking about a comparison to radio, it's not like we go out and just try to start cussing on our show, but we're a little bit more free spirit in what we're able to say.
Okay.
We don't have the restraints that you know, that typical radio does. I don't have an advertiser breathing over my back, being concerned about me upsetting them or providing a bad image for them. And I don't have, you know, the FCC breathing over the other side of my back saying, you know, don't say that word, God. So we're able to just literally just say what we really want to say and not feel restricted.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever done a study of your audience? Have you segmented it or surveyed it? How much of the audience are you know, young men or older women or et cetera? Have you done that?
You know, I have not. I've paid attention to where my audience comes from. And other than that, the only real hint I have, and I'm not sure how much of a real indicator this is who follows us on Facebook. And mm-hmm. That's an odd, it's an audience that I don't think I would have originally expected.
Wow. Let's tell us more.
The Facebook audience leans heavily towards mid-20s African-Americans.
Really? Seriously?
Wow. Oh,
yeah. And I'm not sure. I can't explain that, because I'm not African-American. She's not African-American. We're both pushing 40. So it seems like I don't see any natural connection.
That is so interesting.
But that... Yeah.
That's great.
I got to ask, how long does the show normally run? I mean, what's your time frame on a given?
When we first started the show, we said we were going to be an hour long show.
Right.
Or shoot for an hour long. I think we realized real quick within a handful of episodes that an hour was a little too tight for us. And so we started shooting for an hour and 15, and we stayed there for a while, and I think we've loosened up a little bit, and for at least 6 or 7, 8 months now, I'd say that we average right at around an hour 30 an episode.
Okay.
Not bad.
We've had a couple of conversations that, you know, for the most part could last that long, but it's like,
it's something that we could work on at our show is maybe trying to be a little bit more dedicated to that as a time frame. Mm-hmm. We tried not to put any just set in stone time parameters on the show, but sometimes we do wrap up and look and go, oh, well, we let that one get away from us. We've had a show pushing 2 hours before, and that's a little long for what we're doing.
What was the topic of that one? Do you remember?
I could look it up real quick. It's actually not been too long ago that one was. I think it was actually our episode that we put out on the 23rd of December.
Nice. Well, certainly, you know, JC, Brian, and I certainly have also gone over a little bit. So, you know, we try to approximate, but it's not a big deal if we go over as well. So,
you know, on that episode, it's kind of funny. We talked a lot about the new Star Wars movie, and we talked about the DNC and Bernie Sanders and, you know, their war with each other right now. And
right. That, which is kind of a Star Wars in itself, but cool. I guess since we're kind of already heading in that direction, you know, one of the things that I think that our audience would be interested in as being creators is kind of getting to know a little bit about the hardware and the stuff that you use. And since you're kind of a media guy yourself, and that I might have even through you ran across the indie podcast group here in town. So obviously there's a little bit of a geekness going on with your hardware. Would you, between the two of you, you're the brains behind all of the gadgetry that's being used for the show, right?
Absolutely. There's practically zero interest or even awareness from Lori about what our hardware situation is. She has decided to learn to use some of it, mm-hmm. but for the most part, I don't think she could tell you what anything is that's sitting in front of us.
Do you guys record locally, or are you remote like us?
Typically, we are local. We'll sit in the same room together. We have done a couple episodes where I've been traveling, where we have Skyped in the show. And normally, I'll just my equipment's travel sizable enough that I've got a nice little gear bag that when I go to travel, I just put everything in a bag and set up a kind of a remote studio wherever I go.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Generally, what are some of the when you first started podcasting, what are some of the things that you started off with and you kind of like were like, nope, that's not going to work? And kind of maybe what's your big setup that you like right now?
When I started, I started with a pretty standard mixer board. Mm-hmm. It was a Behringer mixer board, a Xenix Q1202 that I ran in. I liked it, but I don't know if it was low quality or if I had hit it or something, but as the show progressed, I started getting line noise from it. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking for alternatives to that. I'm currently using a Focusrite Scarlett 6i6 audio interface.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then I am running it through. I just have a Toshiba satellite laptop that I'm running it through. Currently recording on to Audition directly on my computer. I kind of hate that and I'm scared about that a little bit. I don't like recording directly on the computer, so I'm looking at probably picking up, I'm thinking about a Zoom H2N. I've got a couple friends that use those to record their shows, mm-hmm. and I'm still going to record into Audition on the laptop, but then also be recording simultaneously into that. We play some jingles and sounds and news clips in our show. So I kind of handle that a couple different ways. I play it all through my tablet, which I have connected through the interface, and then has its own channel coming into the audio software. I use just a standard Google Play Music for my news clips that I record, mm-hmm. because when I record them, I just edit the metadata to confuse Google Play to think it's an album. And so I have like an album titled Episode 62 or Episode 58 or whatever. And so I can just open that album and there's all my clips for that show. And then I have just a free custom soundboard that I downloaded from the Play Store. I tried two or three of them, and I ended up settling on this one that I like to play jingles and our intros and outros and stuff.
Okay. You said that you do clips, so obviously that makes you you said that you were the producer. How do you go about, like, during your day, or how often is your show? Is it
We put a new show out every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
We typically record those on Tuesday night.
Okay, so therefore you have a little bit of a time to actually collect samples and things throughout the week. How do you, do you go, you pull them out of YouTube or you just pull them out of what, how do you?
I pull them out of wherever I find them.
Uh-huh.
I sometimes just get news straight from the Facebook feed. Somebody will be sharing something. Mm-hmm. I will go hit all the major news sites and scroll through, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, etc. Scroll through their stuff and see what they've been talking about. And I try to hit some of the alternative, at least what we consider alternative news sites like BBC and Al Jazeera.
Right.
And as well as some of the blogs, although that's a little bit more Lori's thing. As the week goes, anything that seems like it might even possibly be interesting for the show, I use Evernote and I just save it right onto my phone with Evernote. And then I try to record the clips either the day before or the afternoon before we record the show. So I still kind of have some fresh awareness in my mind as to what this actually contains.
Okay. I guess that my next question would be then, do you worry about copyright infringement from any of that?
I try to be pretty careful with that. If I was monetizing right now, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But since I'm not actually taking a profit, I'm not too concerned.
Okay.
Most of the copyright laws, allow us to play parts of news clips and things, mm-hmm. as long as we're not just passing their news along. If we're just playing what we need to provide commentary on, then, that's considered fair use under the copyright laws.
Okay.
Okay. That's good.
So, for the most part, I feel pretty safe about how we handle it. If somebody wanted to get real legal and finicky because they didn't like what I was doing, I wouldn't probably have the financial means to put up much of a fight.
Right, right.
Which is a disadvantage of doing what I do. I feel like I'm within the fair use boundaries of the copyright law, but I'm probably also unable to defend myself from a monetary point of view if they wanted to tell me to stop.
Right. Well, I was just kind of always curious about that is like if someone wanted to kind of set up a our normal talk show and they do have all these clips and you look at the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks, the Your Afternoon radio shows, and they're able to throw this these clips in and have advertising, it's like how do they get past
that? Yeah, it's hard to tell. I'm sure that the major media players probably have some of agreement, with each other saying, you can use my stuff if I can use yours,
Mm-hmm.
And then, I we're not the only podcast that's doing what we're doing as far as playing some clips. You just have to be careful while you do it. And, if you don't need to play 3 minutes of a news clip when you can play a minute to get to the part that you want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
then the way that I've read and understood and followed up on copyright laws and fair use as far as discussion goes, then I'm pretty comfortable that we're within safe boundaries.
Okay.
So here's an interesting question, since we've traveled to this area. In your opinion, do you think that copyright law infringes on freedom of speech?
There are probably parts of copyright law that do, but I don't think just the idea, the intellectual property idea itself does not. I am not a person that is a big fan of, illegally downloading music.
Right.
So, and that's because I feel like the artists deserve their take.
Right.
And so I think that with most copyright law, it's pretty well, laid out. The problem is some of the stuff that, I guess Disney's notorious for this, where, the copyright is about ready to go into the eminent domain, and then
right.
they'll publish some, refinished version of a movie, and all of a sudden they've got their copyrights again for 75 years or whatever. I hate to use the word loophole. I'm not a big fan of the word loophole because typically I think that things that people refer to as loopholes aren't loopholes. They're actually specifically the way laws were written.
Yeah.
But I think some of those situations where there are end runs around some endings of copyright laws or some limitations
right.
of copyright laws, and then some publishers find a way to say, well, we'll just scoot around this by doing this. I'm not a big fan of that.
So, the whole project with Creative Commons, do you think there's a place in our creative sphere for that? When there's copyright law who protects the creators and the creative domain of the creators.
Oh, is there a place for Creative Commons?
Yep.
Well, absolutely. I think that that's a great place for, especially places like my show to end up, or if you're, I post pictures dealing with some of the stories when we do an episode, and I'll try to make sure I'm finding a Creative Commons picture that I've got the right to use, because that's a little bit less of a gray area.
Right.
I think it's a great place for a lot of places to go. I think podcasts almost belong there because it makes your show easily shareable. And if you're not a major podcaster making millions on your show, you want as many people out there to get listening to it as possible. And I don't have a problem right now with people trying to pass my show off as their own property. And so as far as I'm concerned, hey, if you want to put my show up on your website, be my guest. Please do so, because it's just going to help get the word out.
That's pretty awesome.
I like that. Something else that I have you just brought up that one of the things that you were talking about, how, you would think that as far as downloading music goes, that, you want to get the artists get their fair share. Recently I was listening to another podcast that was talking about a new company that just came out that was very similar to Kickstarter called Patreon. Have either of you guys heard about that?
I have the name, but I don't know many details about it at all.
Okay. So what Patreon is basically a company that, again, very similar setup like Kickstarter, but instead of, the different projects that Kickstarter does, it's more along the lines of being able to give patronage, so to speak, to artists. And so if you have any background knowledge of what patronage used to be, more or less meaning that, royalty supported people like Mozart or different artists back in the day, because really all they could make was one, piece, versus what you have now is the ability to copy pieces of work and then be able to, sell those separate copies, then patronage is something that has gone on for, thousands of years, whereas the way we do it now is very new comparatively. And so anyway, the founder of Patreon realized this. And that's what you can use then as someone maybe like yourself, Josh, who would set up this page, and whoever's listening to your show could just, say, hey, I like you as an artist, go do your thing, and here's some money to go fund that. So
it's a pretty neat concept.
Concepts like that, and even concepts like Uber and Lyft, I think that some of this, we as the consumer deciding how we're going to spend our money instead of someone out there as the corporate entity basically being the only place for us to spend our money. You're going to see more things like that. You're going to see more Kickstarters. You're going to see more Ubers. You're going to see more crowdfunding things pop up out there, because we as consumers are going to start demanding it, because it's kind of like a la carte for us, and we're not interested in the whole package anymore. We're just interested in the bits of the pieces that we want. Mm-hmm. And that's how this is going to happen.
Right. Sound like you're a potential cord cutter the way you say it.
I am cord cutted as of about 3 years ago.
Oh my.
No more cable in the house, only internet. I've got the Netflix, and that's about it.
Wow. Good job. If I was to go cord cutting, I'd probably go Hulu and Netflix, because
the roommate's got the Hulu. So I've got, I guess we've got a little bit of both, and I'm also an Amazon Prime member. So I've got access to their video library.
Oh, okay. That works.
So in general, it looks like that, you've been working at this for a really long while. This has been a really big passion of yours. I could tell that you've got that radio voice. Do you have to develop that throughout the years? Is it like a practiced art to have a radio voice?
You know, I don't even consider myself to have a radio voice. It's not the first time I've heard that, but when I hear myself, I'm used to it enough where I don't sound weird to myself anymore, but I still don't go, wow, that's a great radio voice you have there, Josh. So I don't even pick up on it. I think it just comes with having a face for radio. They give you the voice too.
Oh.
Yeah, I can identify with that. I've gotten the same compliment and it's like, if you just say so, I don't know. But no, that's just one of the things is that the biggest part, as you said, is just when you're hearing yourself and editing yourself. Once you get over that, then it's like, yeah, that guy is just, you know, someone else that I edit, because that, and that's really the way that I look at it anymore. It's like, I know that's what I sound like now, but at the same time, it's, I don't register it as myself still, I guess.
I know what you're talking about. It's just kind of like that. It's kind of like your outward personality out there. You're like, I know that's me, but that's somebody else.
Right. There. Right. Exactly.
Like the podcast and the way you record, it just becomes habit over time. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, as far as, you know, we were talking a little bit about monetization. I mean, what are you seeing in the future of the show? Do you see producing any like merchandise or anything, or how do you expect to?
You know, I've thought about some stuff like t-shirts or bumper stickers or stuff before. I don't think that I'm quite ready to do that. I would love to get to a point where I can monetize the show, although I'm not, as much as it would be great to make a career out of it. My goals are a little bit more down to earth. You know, I would just like to get to what another podcast friend of mine just calls, you know, I want to have a fiscally neutral show. No, if all the equipment and the, you know, the website hosting and the media hosting and all that really adds up. And I run typically some Facebook ads, not big money, but a little bit just to put out, you know, when I put a new episode up, if all of that just was break even, that would be a great win for me. I enjoy doing it right now as the hobby of doing it, you know, and hobbies have associated costs with them. So right now it's just the cost of doing my hobby. Mm-hmm. If someday my hobby can turn into something that I can break even on or even make a few bucks on the side, that would be a great next step. I don't think that I'm quite ready to monetize yet. We toyed around with the idea about 6 months ago. I would like to get the listener base up a little bit more before I start, you know, asking four guys for money.
That makes a lot of sense.
If that is truly your perspective, I think that Patreon would definitely work in your guys' favor then. So, anyway, we got about, you know, roughly 10, 15 minutes or so. So I think it's time to move in the rapid fire question part of the show. So the first question would be, you know, one I always ask and it's three ways you'd like to be remembered by someone that's listening to today's show, in the future.
Sure. I guess, you know, when it comes to doing things like this, doing my show, whatever, I just call it like I see it. I'm honest sometimes to a fault, and I'm a guy that if I say it, you can buy into what I'm saying because I believe in what I say when I open my mouth. I tend to bring energy to things, even if I'm a little down and out or whatever. When we turn the mic on, it's showtime. You're on stage. Get out there and talk. And so whenever you're listening to me on my show or whatever else you might find me out there, I think that you can find me to be upbeat, full of energy. I'm dedicated to this as an idea. It's been kind of something I've loved doing my whole life is getting behind the mic and playing DJ. And so that, you know, it's something I'm really proud to be able to do as an amateur.
Cool.
Awesome. The next question would be, who were your biggest three influences in your life?
Oh, okay. Well, obviously, I think you got to throw out the parents out there. But in my case, also, I had some very influential grandparents. I had some grandparents that just lived right down the road from me that, you know, when you're going through those times in your life that you and your parents are butting heads a little bit. I still got along very well with my grandparents. I spent a lot of time with them, basically lived with them for major portions of the year to kind of have that space for my parents. And I got really influenced by them, especially as far as things like work ethic was concerned. You know, to this day, I can hear my grandpa saying over and over again, you know, when you go to work, when you go to do a job, don't just do what they ask of you. Always do a little bit extra. And so it's kind of been great. Something that's lived with me. Yes. And I've also been blessed to have some very good bosses over my life. I can think of at least a handful just off the top of my head of bosses that were good about teaching me the ways of the job, but also were good about being caring people. And, you know, as I'm a manager now in my industry, you know, that I've learned how to balance those two sides of the job, making sure the job gets done, but also making sure that your employees don't just feel like they're a number.
And so
that's great.
So those are the three influences in your life. How about as a podcaster, what three people that might influence your art?
Sure. You know, I've always been a fan of, there's a guy named Chris Spangle, and he is one of the hosts of the We Are Libertarians podcast. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him. And he's been doing that for a number of years. He's also a guy that's been radio most of his life. And, as long as I've been friends with him, I've been very impressed with his energy and dedication when it comes to doing the show and making sure that it was done right. I don't know if you've ever heard of the podcast No Agenda, but as podcasters go, Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak know how to do it.
Wow.
Just about better than anybody. Adam Curry, you may remember him from, he was an MTV VJ back in the days. He's actually gained the nickname as the Podfather because he was one of the very originating people that ever put out podcasts ever. And he's now been doing the No Agenda show with John C. Dvorak for just over 8 years, pushing 800 episodes or so right now. And there, with them, it comes to, you know, they know how to put out a quality product. And I don't get to listen to them as much as I like, but it, you know, every time I do get an opportunity to tune in, I understand, you know, the importance of things like audio quality and timing and making sure that it all comes together and into one fluid thing.
That's great.
Josh, the next question that we have is, you know, and I always ask this question, what does success mean to you, and frankly, how do you go about achieving that success?
Well, I try to have my goals be realistic. Success to me is it's just comfort. Success is comfort. If you're not living your life just needing things that you can't that you feel like for some reason you can't achieve, if you're just able to have the things that you need to get by, then that is success. Anything beyond that is bonus. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to have a large, lavish, fancy life to be a successful person. I consider myself a successful person in my career. I make decent money. I have a nice home. And I don't have anything fancy. I don't need anything fancy, or in most cases even want anything fancy. I'm just happy with the fact that I can look around and say, I'm very content. I have what I need to get through my day. And not, you know, end up starving or crying myself to sleep.
That indeed is a blessing.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I guess the last question that we have for you today is, after listening to you on the show, what is one action that someone can take if they wanted to start podcasting?
A couple different things. A, just do it. Just do it. You know, there's all the stuff that you feel can get in your way in your life, you know, whether you got a hard job or tough times at work, or, you know, you're having some difficulties with, you know, your kids or, you know, your spouse or your parents or whatever, you know, just especially as a hobby, even just start doing it. I'm sure you guys are aware who Pat Flynn is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He actually has a YouTube video on a series of videos. It was like six videos long about starting to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly helpful for me to get this one off the ground, because while I'd been involved with podcasts before, I'd never actually started one and created one. And so going through his video series of how to do little things like get your stuff on iTunes and how to pick a mic and you know, things like that, and what to do with software, you know, these six I think it was six videos that were 15 to 20 minutes a piece. So I spent a couple hours of my life to watch them. Mm-hmm. And I got a ton of information from him. And then I also became a Pat Flynn fan because of that and still tune into him from time to time.
Oh, so you're one of the people that found him on YouTube. Cool.
I did find him on YouTube. Yes.
Cool.
Yep. And then, you know, like I said, just go out there and do it. And if, you know, I'm a big fan of audio quality and you want it to sound good and everything, but if you don't have the means to get everything going right off the bat, maybe you can find someone that can, that has an extra mic laying around or something to help you get started. Or even if not, just go ahead and start with what you got and do something that you love.
Cool. I like that. So finally, Josh, as we're parting here, where can people find you and how can people listen to the show?
Sure, absolutely. We are available pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. So primarily, of course, iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict. If you search for Now Trending Show, you will find us on pretty much every podcast app out there. Our website is nowtrendingshow.com. Our website is it's nothing fancy or exciting, but it is where you can find the links to all the stuff that we talk about in the show, all the news stories that we cover, as well as be able to direct download the podcast from there if you would like.
Thank you, Josh, for being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you Definitely. For the opportunity. I loved it.
Awesome. All right. Well, we appreciate, again, coming on, and look forward to all the stuff that, you know, Now Trending Show is going to be talking about in the future. So thanks again.
Hey, thanks no again. Problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's an awesome talk. Sometimes I just wish that we don't have to struggle with the idea of making money and doing what we love. But unfortunately, we only have so many hours in the day. And personally, I like to believe that when we do have an income from our work, it just kind of reflects maybe a metric of how we're actually adding value to others. So, you know, hopefully Josh can start making an income and what he finds very interesting and rewarding to him in the not too distant future. In today's show notes, you can find at newinceptions.com/session21, there are instructions on how you can subscribe for free to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Beyond that, we have the show note extras. And for this show especially, there's going to be resources there that will actually help you start your own podcast if that's something that you'd like to do. The first resource is the first episode of the podcast tutorial at Pat Flynn's. This is the same resource that Josh talked about that got him started on following Pat. This particular series is from a few years back, so things are a little different since then, but I believe it still remains pretty useful. One of the things that have changed a bit since Pat's tutorial are microphones, and a couple months ago, Chase from Fizzle actually did a shootout of high-quality microphones, and in fact, this is where I learned about my new mic here, the AT875R, which you can tell the difference between the recording and my voice now. That's the difference, so that's why you might want to check out that resource. And finally, the last show note extra is an older Fizzle podcast session from May of 2014. It's a list of 24 lessons that the Fizzle crew learned about when they, after doing their podcast for a year. So it's a pretty comprehensive list. There's actually more in Fizzle about building a podcast, but you'll have to be a member to actually see that stuff. But again, if you want to get in for free for 2 weeks, you can do so by going to newinceptions.com/fizzle and get those extra resources inside of Fizzle's gates. So that's pretty much it for the extras. I hope that if these resources are useful to you, that I actually hear about your show and let me know if they do provide you with some value. In next week's show, I chat with a guy that Cam introduced me to. Mike McApinlack is a founder of the Social Man Project. Through it, he helps shy guys become socially confident so they can create the dating life they deserve. You know, some of the things that we kind of go into the chat are where he got the idea for the Social Man Project, how after many years of being a shy guy, he became a coach, and actually just some of the problems that shy guys face, you know, when they're dating. So if you're a shy guy or happen to know one and think you or they could use a pick-me-up, it's probably a good talk for you or your friend. So in the meantime, head on over to the show notes found at newinceptions.com/session21 for the show. Again, there is where you'll find the show notes to all what we discussed today. And please be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on whichever platform you're using. It means a lot, not only to us, but it also means a lot to our guests. You know, and it means that, you know, that they can, you know, show it to their friends and people that they influence. And it also means a lot to future listeners as well. Here's the thing. Without reviews and comments, it's a lot harder for people to find us in the future. So please go out and spend a couple minutes and leave us a review. So we really appreciate you guys for listening and sharing our show. And if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to impact all the people we help get out of their box and doing stuff they enjoy. So thanks again. So that's it. Session 21 is in the bag. Get on over to the show notes and check out that podcast information I was talking about on the show notes extras. And again, I look forward to hearing any awesome results that you have in the future from using those resources. And until next time, have a great time doing what it is that you love to do. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.